Hold on one second here. Let's do this again. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining our Mashiach and Geula class. We are holding the end of Parshas Lech Lecha at the story of Avram's Bris Milah and the great, great, great blessings that are coming as a result of Avram's fulfillment of this mitzvah. We spoke about the name change of Avram Avinu and related to the Bris Milah, the birth of Yitzchak. Now, what really comes out of that, we just want to conclude Parshas Lech Lecha today and Be'ezus Hashem begin Parshas Vayera today. Again, as mentioned earlier, it is always good to have a Chumash out because it enables far more clarity in the Shir and following along. And also would like to mention that next week, I think I'm going to be on a flight to New York at this time. So we won't have the shiur next week, this class. So I hope I'll remember to remind everyone at the end of the class as well, those who will be joining soon, that I'm going to have to cancel this class next week. I won't be here. And then we're going to resume Be'ezus Hashem. Okay. We are holding by, again, the story of Bris Milah all the way at the end. So what we came out from last week in the two classes on Bris Milah that we had earlier is that, you know, the mitzvah of Bris Milah is a quintessential mitzvah that is related to the entire purpose of all of that which Torah and mitzvah is supposed to accomplish in the world. And when once Avram Avinu does his Bris Milah, in a sense, on a personal level, Avram Avinu arrived already into Yemais HaMashiach. In other words, if we're to look in the Torah and to find Bias HaMashiach, happening, the first time it happened after Adam HaRishon was kicked out of Gan Eden was in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the beginning of Parshas Vayera. That's when you have the nucleus of Bias HaMashiach. It happens to an individual person on an individual level, but the fact that one person arrived to that incredible state, that is a sign that eventually all of the world is going to reach there. You need one person to break through. Avram is the one who broke through. He himself, you know, didn't even take all the three others, but Avram himself already arrived at the time of Mashiach. It's one of the reasons it says that Sarah is called Sarah. Sarah. And initially she was called Sarai, which means my minister, my sar, my minister, my governor. And who is saying that? That's Avram calls his wife Sarai. She's my governor. And we also know, and then later she becomes Sarah by the Bris Milah, which means she's the governor on everyone. But why is she the governor? Shouldn't Avram be the governor? And the answer is that this is messianic, this is mashiachic. And since Avram Avinu reached already the future time, in the days of Mashiach, we know one of the ideas that is going to be so interesting and unique and special in the days of Mashiach is that it's that the feminine energy dominates over the masculine light. And therefore, in the keva to save of gever, the woman and is going to encompass her husband, surround her husband. Eshes chaya la teres baila. The quality of the woman, the female quality, is going to exceed over the general world until Mashiach, which is all male dominant, and it's going to become female dominance. And for that reason, Sarah is, see, from the beginning she's already called Sarai as a minister, but that's particularly to Avram, but then through Avram eventually Sarah for the whole world. So comes out according to this that what's really, say again, When Adam HaRishon was put into Gan Eden, for the first few hours of the world's existence, we were living, the world was in Yemai Samashiach Deg state. But that was, again, unearned. That was not Hamadach Sufa. That was bashful bread, because it did not come through Avodah, did not come through our work and toil and effort. Hashem gifted the world with that. But then as a result of the Secheta, the Eitz Hadas, which ultimately was supposed to happen, because man was supposed to come to this level on his own. So when Adam and Chava sinned from the Eitz Hadas, the world plunged into darkness. And as we learned that, you know, Noach began to turn the world around by the Mamabel, the purification of the world. But then it took Avram Avinu, where the real work began in rectifying, purifying, and making the world into a place that eventually can be a Dira, that Hashem could come down and reveal himself in the physical world. The first place where that happened was in Avram's body. By Avram Avinu became a Guf Kaddish when he had the Bris Milah. That's when, finally, for the first time, godliness, Kedusha, holiness, etched its way into physicality, that the physical became a literal Keli and a complete unified with the godly. It's the only time that Kedusha permeated the physical world. Until that moment, we didn't have, because even though we know the Aves did mitzvahs, it says in Chassidus, we always talk about this, that even though the Aves did all the mitzvahs that they did were all spiritual. They did not have any influence on the Gashmi, on the physical and the material of the world. It was all hovering holiness. It was only by the mitzvah of Bris Milah where finally the breakthrough happened, that Kedusha penetrated, permeated, and reached into the Gashmias. V'hoysa brisi bibsarchem, my covenant is now etched in your flesh, so that flesh becomes holy, physicality becomes holy, which is what Mashiach is. The only difference is that when Mashiach will come, it will be so in all flesh, over the whole world, that all flesh, every human being, everybody in the entire world, will be a keli for godly light. But the first one who broke through was Avram Avinu. That's why these psukim are so messianic. They're so mashiachtig, because in the Bris Milah is when you have Moshiach's arrival for the first time. As we're going to see that in today's class, pointing out the various different inyanim, when you see Bias HaMashiach already by Avram's Bris Milah. And so all the way in the end of the parsha, it says, I'm reading at the very conclusion of the parsha, Vayikach Avram, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Avram took his Yishmol Benoi, with Kol Yolidei Beisoi, with Kol Miknas Kaspoi, Avram took all of his family and everybody, Kol Zohar, Ba'anshei Beis Avram, all the males in the house of Avram, Vayamalus Pesar Alosam, he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and then it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the midst of this day, Kashadibet Itar Elokim, like Hashem spoke with him. Then it continues, Va'avram Ben Tishim V'sei Shashana, Avram was 99 years old, V'yimoyle B'sar Arlase, when he circumcised the flesh of his Arla, V'yishmol Benoi, and then Yishmol was 13 years old when he had his Bris Milah, and finally, this is an important pasuk that I was looking for, waiting for, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the middle of this day, Nimoil Avram, Avram Avinu was circumcised, V'yishmol Benoi, and Yishmol his son. Now, this emphasis, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the midst of this day, what does the pasuk emphasize? In the middle of the day. So Rashi, in the simple pshat, it means in the middle of the day, meaning that Avram didn't do it secretly, even though there was a possibility that the people would be, you know, people would try to harm him or see him in a vulnerable moment. Avram had many people didn't like him because of his, anti-Semitism began already in Avram's days because of Avram's message to the world. So there were many people didn't like him. If Avram was to do his Bris Milah open, like we find that when the children of Shechem, when the children of Yaakov, when next week's parsha, when Dina was violated, the children of Shechem, the children of, I'm sorry, of Yaakov, the Shvatim, went and massacred all the inhabitants of Shechem. But how did they do that? They caught them in a vulnerable state after they had their surgery, after the Bris Milah. So Avram Avinu, in a sense, was endangering his life. Definitely, he would definitely have been the source of mockery of all the people, of all the tabloids and whatever else would be making all kinds of the comics and whatever would be making fun of Avram Avinu. So why does he need it to make this public? But yet, Rashi says that Avram wasn't afraid of anybody, And he did his bris milah very open and very announced, public, that everybody, that's a simple meaning. But there's a deeper meaning in the idea of be'etzem ayoyim hazeh nimoil Avram. What it really means, according to the Alter Rebbe, in his famous Maimer discourse that is repeated by bris milahs across by all chassidish bris milahs, when people by a bris, there's a custom to say this Maimer, by Chabad Chassidim, in which the Alter Rebbe discusses the idea of why is it say be'etzem ayoyim hazeh. And he explains something fascinating. He says, Hayoyim hazeh, this day, means the day, means the ultimate day. What's the ultimate day? That's the day, Yoyim Shakulay Aruch. That's the day that Mashiach is going to bring in. Yoyim Shakulay Toiv, the day that's completely good. That's Hayoyim hazeh, this day. The day that all the Jewish people have been waiting for. And we so breathlessly await, constantly, non-stop, we're davening for the revelation of this great day, the day of the coming of Mashiach. So Avram Avinu arrived at that day. Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. And not only did he arrive at the day, but to the essence. Avram Avinu uncovered the essence of hayoyim hazeh, of the Bias HaMashiach. And over there, Avram had his bris milah. Nimoil Avram. That Avram Avinu had his bris milah. And that's why the pasuk, interesting, it says, Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. It doesn't say, in the midst of this day, Avram Avinu circumcised himself, which would emphasize the act of circumcision. It should have said, Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh, Mol Avram, Avram Avinu did his bris milah. But it doesn't say that he actively did the bris milah. It says, Nimoil, it was done. So Rashi brings that Avram Avinu was afraid to do it himself. He was an older man. It was a surgery to do it on his own. So Hashem assisted him. That's why it says, Nimoil, he was circumcised. However, the Alter Rebbe connects it to the idea that when it says Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, Avram Avinu arrived into the midst, as he was doing his bris milah, he arrived into the midst of the revelation of Mashiach. He was there already. He arrived. He was in that. He was living, not only, he was living in the essence of Mashiach light, Mashiach revelation. How do you see that? What does it have to do with Nimoil? Because the question he asks is, and it's asked by many Mefarshim, why didn't Avram Avinu do the Bris Milah? If Avram kept all of Torah mitzvahs, then why didn't Avram Avinu do the Bris Milah? Like, because he knew of the mitzvahs before they were given, so he should have done the Bris Milah. And this was the one mitzvah he left until he was 99 years old, and Hashem commanded him that he should circumcise himself. So why was this mitzvah left out? So he explains over there that there is two levels in bris milah. One level in bris milah is a bris milah that we can do today's days. And that's a mitzvah that, meaning, it's what's the whole idea of bris milah? The whole idea of bris milah is to removing a barrier, to remove a block, to unclog that which clogs, that which blocks. As we mentioned earlier, since the chait of the Adam Arishon, there's a great klipa, a great clogging, a great defilement, an existential defilement, an existential impurity that exists all over the world that blocks between and separates between us and Hashem. And like we spoke in the earlier classes, that's why until that time, Avram is called Avram without a hey. It means exalted father. That means the father of creation. God, who fathers creation, is Ram, is exalted, is not felt. Ram al kogoyim Hashem, that Hashem is distant, removed. The creations are not conscious, definitely not permeated with the realization that Hashem is their chayos, that Hashem is their life support, that Hashem is their energy, right? So there is a klipa. And our avoda is, if you see, the mitzvah bris milah, besides its physical action of a mitzvah, of removing the foreskin, there is the avoda of bris milah, which is not an avoda only when a baby is 8 days old, which is an avoda that a person has to do all their life, women as well. It's even though women don't have the mitzvah of bris milah in the physical sense, but the Gemara says that women also have a bris milah because the Gemara says a woman is born isha kamanda mehiladama. Women are also born with the spiritual bris, but it involves avoda. What's the avoda? Every day we have to do whatever we can to try to remove that which is clogging our heart. Our heart. We wake up in the morning. We feel sometimes abandoned, we feel sometimes helpless, we sometimes feel in despair, or other times we feel apathetic, in the mood, we're excited, and driven with all kinds of other drives besides our Yiddishkeit, besides our purpose and our mission and our reason why what we're here really for, to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, to connect to Hashem. Hashem is not in the center of our attention. We're busy with everything else. That's called having a blockage. So our avoda during davening, that's what davening is meant for. And in order to help our davening, it's recommended that a person does a little achana before davening, which is learning a little chassidus, a little preparation, so you have something to daven with. And then while you're davening, you're boring a hole, you're peeling away the klipa. And that's what the pasuk says, umaltem es or las levavchem. We're supposed to bu a bris, we're supposed to circumcise the foreskin of the heart, that which is sitting on the heart and causing us to be numb, to be insensitive to spiritual matters, to godly things. And it's a constant avoda. You do it one day, tomorrow it comes back again. Every day you have to fight and fight and fight to clear your heart, to keep oneself inspired and focused and directed towards Kedusha, towards holiness, and feel Hashem in your life. This is an avoda. But yet, it says that as much as we are able to remove, and that which is kind of our responsibility, to remove the clogging of our heart, there is a certain level of blockage that we're not able to remove. It's a very, very, very thin level, a little membrane, if we might say, that a human being is not capable of removing. Because as far as we will go, there will always be some sense of a tiny bit of a sense of independent existence or existence separated from Hashem. It says when Mashiach will come in Parshas Nitzavim, it says, Umal Hashem alekecha es levavcha, that Hashem is going to circumcise your heart. And the Rebbe actually is medayik over there. It doesn't say, Umal Hashem alekecha es or las alev. The clogging of the heart, Hashem is not going to remove after Mashiach comes. That's our job to remove today's days. It's our avodah to work on removing the clogging of the heart, the foreskin of the heart. But there's something else. There is levavcha itself, the heart itself. Meaning the heart has its limitations of what it can feel. How much can a human heart feel already? How much are we capable of experiencing our love to Hashem? It's with a limit. Umal Hashem alekecha es levavcha means that the Eibishter is going to give us all a heart surgery in the sense that he's going to open up our hearts to feel infinitely more than what a human heart can feel, in which we can truly, really experience the true MS, the real MS of the Eibishter, of God. And the love to Hashem is then going to be so intense, so powerful, that we can't even imagine. It's going to be a madness. That's what he describes it over here in the Maamar. A madness, a maddening love that every Yid is going to feel after Mashiach comes. To experience this Ava Rabba, this crazy love that transcends all reason and understanding. It's the inyan of bris, the real inyan of bris. Because what does a bris mean? When you're making a covenant with someone, the Alter Rebbe explains in many places, is that you're raising your relationship to a level of the irrational. Because if you're friends, why do you have to make a covenant? We're friends, we like each other. So what's the idea of a covenant? The idea of a covenant, in essence, as he explains, means that even if, for whatever reason, you will not be deserving of the love, or I will not be deserving of our relationship, I will mess up. You will mess up. We will do things that are annoying to each other. And therefore, should Chas V'Shalom bring about a breakage in the relationship, yet we are committing ourselves to love each other. But hold it, why are you doing that? If the person is not deserving of the love anymore, why are you loving them? And the answer is, it's not based anymore on any reason and any logic. I'm raising the connection to a level where it's just essential. I love you, you love me, for no reason at all, just because. Which means the two of us are becoming one. That's the idea of a bris. With us, with Hashem, that means to love Hashem like deeper than you love your life, you love yourself. It's an infinite love. This dimension of love is only going to be revealed after Mashiach comes, because this circumcision, which is not the circumcision of the arla of the lev, of the clogging of the heart. Clogging means there's a klipa. That, okay, it's our avodah. We were the ones who did it. We, Adam and Chava, ate from the Eitz Hadas. We caused the mess. Ultimately, we have to clean it up. So we work for thousands of years, generations upon generations. We work on thinning out the klipa until we remove it completely. But that's too far as we can reach. When we finish our Avodah, So in a matter of what we call in Chassidus, a Sarusa de Liela, Hashem from above is going to come in and he's going to open up our hearts to experience the relationship with Hashem that's much, much deeper and far more profound than anything that we can do coming from our seichel, from our understanding. This union, this connection, this attachment is something that we can't achieve. As we said, it's going to be la'asad lavai, when Mashiach will come. And that's why Avraham Avinu, when he had the bris milah, he waited till Hashem commanded him to make the bris milah. He could have had a bris. But if Avram would have done his own bris milah, then what would have it meant? What would have been present in his bris milah? It would have been only the bris milah that we have today, meaning the bris of removing that which human being can remove from his heart. It would not contain within it the bris that Hashem does. So therefore, Avram waited until Hashem commands him. When Hashem is commanding him, it doesn't. First of all, Hashem is empowering him, so it's not with his koiches, it's not with human koiches, it's with Hashem's power. Number two, when Hashem commanded him, it really meant that Hashem did the bris, that Avram didn't do it. So the type that which was removed from his heart was not just the erlos of the lev, but the limitations of the human heart was removed from his heart. That's why the pasuk says nimoil Avram. Avram was circumcised. Not that he did it, but it happened to him. In other words, as we said earlier, Hashem helped him do it, which means not just physically Hashem helped him do it, spiritually. The bris milah, the opening, the bonding, the connection, the bris means attachment. The attachment between Avram and Hashem became so deep, it was in the level of Mashiach. It was a Mashiach to Ge'inyan, that which Hashem is going to do. And that's why the pasuk also says, Be'etzem ayoy mazeh. Nimoil Avram in the middle of this day, meaning in the essence of the day, meaning in the day of Mashiach. So what we're really having over here is that once Avram did Bris Milah, he removed already, first of all klipa was removed. That number one, at least on his personal level. It wasn't yet for the whole world, but at least on him, there was one place in this world where all the klipa, all the effects of the sin of the cheta, the Eitz Hadas was removed. There's no more orla, there is already an open connection. In addition to that, not only the work that is necessary to do to bring Mashiach was done, but the giluyim, the revelations that come after Mashiach comes, the revelations that are here in the world, the great godliness and the deep closeness to Hashem that Yidden, that the Jewish people are going to experience, that every neshama is going to have, that every person is going to experience after Mashiach comes, that too was revealed to Avram, and that too was part of his bris milah. Avram had a complete bris. This expresses itself also as we move on from Parshas Lech Lecha, we move into studying Parshas Vayera. What happens when we learn Parshas Vayera? What's the first thing we encounter when we learn Parshas Vayera? The next parsha, Vayeda Elav Hashem, that Hashem appears to him. Interesting. In this appearance, when Hashem appears to Avram, it doesn't say that Hashem did anything. It says Hashem appeared to Avram. It doesn't say that Hashem came to tell him something. Every other time when Hashem appears to him, there's a conversation. Over here, it's just a visit. So what's the idea over here? Okay, the malachim come, and the malachim speak to him, okay? But that's the malachim. But first, it's just an appearance of Hashem. But the answer is, this is the revelation. We just mentioned earlier that be'etzem ayoy mazeh, that once, that the bris milah of Avram was, that he didn't have a bris milah of our days. He was able to tap into the ultimate bris milah, the bris milah that it says, that the umal Hashem elekechas levavcha, that God is going to circumcise your heart. Hashem is going to open up our hearts to be able to perceive and to experience the deepest love of how much Hashem loves us, how one He is with us, which that love is only going to be revealed after Mashiach comes. So in last week in Parshas Lech Lecha, it talks about the act of the bris, that it was done. And as we said earlier, Avram couldn't do it because that bris we can't do. Hashem has to do for us. Nimoil, it happened on its own. But the next parasha speaks, okay, now that the heart is open, there's not only isn't any more arla salev, the covering of the heart, there's no more limitations. The finite limitations of a human heart are removed as well. So vayeda elav Hashem, Avram Avinu is able to be makabel. He's able to receive this immense gilui, this immense revelation. This was the gilui. Vayeda elav Hashem is the gilui of Yemos HaMashiach. In the micro, in Avram's little world, eventually it's going to happen in the macro as a result of Avram's children and all of our Avodah. But this is already the breakthrough. Vayeda Elav Hashem, we have already Bias HaMashiach and all the Giluyim and all the revelations of Mashiach coming. To further understand this idea, so it says that there's a question that is asked. It says in the beginning of Vayeda that Vayeda Elav Hashem, that Hashem appeared to Avram. So the Zohar asked a question the Zohar makes a statement that until this point, there was no Giloy of Shem Avaya. There was no Yudke Vavke Giloy. And after the Tetragrammaton, meaning Hashem's highest name, was not revealed to Avram. And after this, there is the Giloy. By Bris Mila, he was able to receive it. As long as the Arlo was there, he wasn't able to receive this Giloy. But now, Hashem reveals himself, the Yudke Vavke. Meaning, till now, all the revelations were through other names, the name of Elohim, the name of Shakai, but now, or Aleph Talad Nun Yud, now it's Giloy Havaya, Yudke Vavke. The question is, however, asked, if we look in the earlier parashiyos, we find that it mentions that Hashem, the Yudke Vavke, is mentioned earlier to Avram in many places. First of all, I think all the way in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, V'yomer Hashem al Avram. It doesn't say V'yomer Elokim al Avram, V'yomer Kel Shakai al Avram. It says V'yomer Hashem al Avram. And you have many, many, many such revelations. Achar dvorim Eloh yedvar Hashem al Avram. Also Yudke Vavke, but the Bris Ben Apsarim. So what exactly now is, we say after the Bris Mila, Avram has a Gilui of Shem Avaya. The question to make it stronger is, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu cried out to Hashem, Lama ra'oysa la'am azeh, why have you hurt your children? Why have you done bad to your people? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, an answer, the second Torah portion in Sefer Shemois. Ve'eid al Avram el Yitzhak vel Yaakov, I have appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Kel Shakai, with my name Shin Dalad Yud, Ushmi Avaya, but my most essential name Yud Kei Vav Kei Lo Yinaydati Lahem, that I have not made known to them. So you see clearly that what that I, over there Hashem is saying that I haven't even revealed to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means includes even Avram Avinu after his bris, even after Avram Avinu's bris. Hashem says, I only appeared myself with Kel Shakai, not with Yudke Vavke. And that's why, Lechein Amor, that's why you ask me why we have so much tsaris, why we had such a terrible galus. The galus is a hachana, it's a preparation, it's what is necessary, because now, by Matan Torah, that's when I'm giving the Torah, Hashem is going to reveal, Anoichi Avaya Lekecha, I'm going to read Yudke Vavke. And the revelation of Yudke Vavke is so special that it's worth it to go through all the suffering of Mitzrayim. And that answers all the tzaras. So, but what do you see clearly from there? That even, that Bechlal, in the lives of the Avos, there's no Yud Kei Vav Kei revelation until then. So hold it. We're saying over here, the Zohar says, that once till Avram Avinu had his Bris Mila, there was no Giloy of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Only after his Bris Mila. Then we go ahead and we say that even to Avram Avinu, after the Bris Mila, Bechlal to the Avos, to our fathers, there was no Yud Kei Vav Kei, only by Matan Torah. So really, which one is it? And technically, if you look in Chumash, you see even before Vayeda Elav Hashem, there is also revelations of Yudke Vavke. So how do we interpret this? So the Chassidus talks about this a lot, and there is an explanation. There's a maimer from the Rebbe Rishab in Tafresh Ayin Tes, which I'm not going to go through it, but it just Bechlalis, he gives a very interesting idea. And he says that in Shema Vaya in general, there's two levels of Shema Vaya. There's the lower Yudke Vavke and there's the higher Yudke Vavke. Okay, there's a Yudke, like we say Hashem Hashem Ke Racham V'chano. We mentioned two times Hashem Hashem, and the lower Yudke Vavke is much much lower than the higher Yudke Vavke. Then he says, in each one of them, in the Yudke Vavke itself, in each one of them, there's two dargis. There's the Pnimius and there's the Chitzanius. The internal, innermost of the Yudke Vavke, of the lower level. And there is the Chitzanius, the external part of the Yudke Vavke, of the lower level. And then there is the Pnimius of the Yudke Vavke, of the higher level. That's the highest, the innermost of the Yudke Vavke. And then there is the Chitzanius of Shema Vaya, of the higher Yudke Vavke. These are four levels. And Ba'ofin Kloli, he says like this, that by the Avais before Matan Torah, before the Bris Milah, by Avram Avinu before the Bris Milah, there was a Giloy of the Chitzanius, of the external part of the lower Yudke Vavke. Or in other words, he says, the way he's, no, rather than that mimer, he discusses it a little different. He says, the lower Yudke Vavke, the lower level, the Chitzanius, was Nizgala with a Lavush, with a garment. So you have two Chisrainis, two deficiencies, two things that were incomplete. Number one, it was only the Chitzanius of God, of the Yudke Vavke. Number two, not only was it the Chitzanius, but even that was Nizgala only with a lavush, only with a garment. Once Avram had the Bris Milah, what was Nizgala to him was the Pnimius, the innermost. I'm sorry, hold it. What was revealed to him was the Chitzanius, also Chitzanius, of the Yudke Vavke. In general, it's the lower level of Yudke Vavke, but it's without a Lavush. So again, the difference between before the Bris and after the Bris is, before the Bris, the Yudke Vavke was camouflaged, was concealed. First of all, it's the lower part of the Yudke Vavke, and even that was camouflaged in other names, in the name of Kel Shakai or the name of Elohim. Avram's Bris Milah, the lower Yudke Vavke, the Chitzanius of Yudke Vavke, is revealed without a lavush, without a garment. That's the second level. The third level of advancing, the third level, is the Giloy of Matan Torah. The Giloy of Matan Torah is the Giloy of the Pnimius of Yudke Vavke, not the Chitzanius, the Pnimius, much higher, or what we called earlier the higher Yudke Vavke, which is the Pnimius of the Yudke Vavke. And it was, but it was revealed through a lavush, through a garment. Through a garment. That's the Chitzanius. He gives a mashal just to understand a little bit of that. He says the Pnimius is when a person teaches, let's say, any subject, there is the Chitzanius of the teaching is what they're communicating, what they're teaching. The Pnimius is the essence of the idea that they can't communicate. It's too deep, it's too abstract, they can't communicate. But he says an interesting thing. You can gain insight in the Pnimius of the idea when you're looking at the face of the teacher. In other words, what is not expressed, that's why it's better when you're having a shiur, there is something about being present physically at the shiur or than just listening on the shiur, whether we're listening on the phone or listening on a recording or whatever it is. Because as much as you're gaining when you're doing that, you gain much more when you're seeing the Pnei Harav, the face of the teacher. Because there's a certain depth of the lesson, of the innermost of it, that comes through the eyes, it comes through the facial expressions that just cannot be communicated. So that's the Pnimius, but it's still coming through looking at the face, it's still coming through something physical. You're not experiencing the etzem, the nekuda pnimius of it in its true abstraction and its true brilliant light, because you're seeing it through the face, through a physical keli. He says that was Matan Torah. Matan Torah, it says, ki ba'or panecha nasata lanu Torah Chaim. You're giving us your living, your Torah Chaim. But it's ba'or, it's the innermost light, but it's ba'or panecha, it's through your face. And that's why you know by Matan Torah it says panim bepanim dibur Hashem imachem, Hashem spoke to you face to face, but it's through the face. When Moshiach will come, it's going to be the Pnimius of the light, not through any lavush at all. It's going to be the Pnimius without any levush at all. The panimius of Yud Kei Vav Kei without levush. That's the meaning of v'loyikanef oid mairecha. Your teacher is not going to hide anymore in a concealment. It's like the teacher being able to teach the unteachable. Not only through looking at his face, but through. I guess the only way that can happen is when the teacher and student become totally one. So I don't have to communicate, and it's just you're me and I'm you. And that's the oneness that we're going to attain when Mashiach is going to come with Hashem. And that is that's the real Gilui Shem Havaya that's going to be when Mashiach is going to come. The ultimate revelation of Shem Havaya, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's how he defines it. Again, there's four stages in the Gilui. The Gilui before the Bris Milah was the Chitzainius, the external through a garment. After the Bris Milah, it was the Chitzainius, the level without a garment. Then, by Matan Torah, it was the Pnimius of divinity, the innermost of divinity, but with a garment. And by Mashiach will come, it will be the Pnimius of the divine without a garment. But then he concludes an interesting thing, in order that it doesn't contradict what I said earlier, that Avram Avinu was already Zoychet Yemaisa Mashiach. So he says, V'ulai, it's possible that this that we say that Avram's, the revelation of Bris Milah, is the Pnimius, it's the Chitzainius without a garment, but it's not the Pnimius without a garment. That is only in as much as the rest of the world is concerned. In other words, that which is brought for all of us, Bris Milah, that Avram did, made accessible for all of the Jewish people in the future. But for Avram Avinu himself, to him himself, he attained the full revelation of Yemoisa Mashiach, the Pnimius without a Levush. And he says that's the meaning of Ayeda Elav Hashem. To him, to Elav, to Avram as an individual, he had the Giloy of the highest of the high. And here, if you notice, there's something else. See, what was so great and so powerful about, what's going to be so great about Yemoisa Mashiach? What's so great about Yemoisa Mashiach is twofold. Number one, the revelations are going to be the highest, most powerful revelations. That which has never been revealed, even by Matan Torah, was not been revealed, number one. But number two is that the fact that that those revelations are going to be able to be absorbed without destroying our bodies. Generally, any revelation of godliness that's a little more than we can handle. It says, but that at one time Hashem got upset at the Malachim, and he stuck out his pinky, and with a little sticking out of the pinky, he burnt up all the Malachim. They were all destroyed. So you see, even a tiny little more energy that can be handled, it destroys everything. And yet when Mashiach will come, the innermost of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that which all worlds can't perceive, is going to be revealed in the physical world, and we're going to receive it in our bodies. And the body is not going to break. That's what the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Lamed Vav and Tanya. That's the whole point of Dira B'Tachtayim, that Hashem Himself can live there, and the body will not completely dissolve. The body won't be broken. That's the Chiddush. And you see that over here. Vayeda Elav Hashem. Number one, there was a revelation. Number one, it was a love to him. To him meaning he was able to absorb it. He was able to withstand it. And it actually says that before the Bris Milah, whenever Hashem spoke to Avram, he fell on his face. That means his body couldn't handle it. He would fall. He would get, probably like it says by all the prophets, they got convulsions. They came to almost a near-death experience because their bodies couldn't handle it. But when after the Bris Milah, Avram was able to stand and receive the revelation without falling, without becoming discombobulated. Not only that, not only is he now able to withstand the revelation, but the revelation is so much more powerful than what it was before. Because before it was, as we said, only the Chitzainius, now it's the Pnimius. It's so much higher. Yet, and before the Bris Milah, his body couldn't even handle the small revelation. And after the Bris Milah, he's able to handle even the greatest revelation, even the revelation, as we said, by Avram Avinu, of Yemoisa Mashiach, after Mashiach comes, even Be'etzam Ayoyim Azeh, the revelations of Mashiach, even that is revealed to him. Where else do we see this? What does it say? It says, V'hu Yoishev, that Avraham Avinu, this idea that that this revelation of Parshas Vayera is Mamash Mashiach came already. That's why it continues. That what does it say in the pasuk? Where was Avraham sitting during this revelation? For Yoishev Pesach HaOyel, he was sitting at the entrance of the tent. Kechayim Ayoyim, when the heat of the day. What does it mean, the heat of the day? So we know what the sages say. It says in the pasuk. It says Kishemesh Umagein Avaya Elokim. So first of all, the simple pshat. What does it mean? It was hot. So it says that day was a very hot day, because Hashem didn't want to bother Avram. That no one should bother Avram. Avram was always taking in guests. Anybody that passed by his house had to come in and have an iced tea or whatever. Avram took care of them, but Hashem didn't want that Avram should be bothered. So he made it heated up the day. It should be boiling hot. But doing what? Hashem took the sun out of its sheath. Okay, so he made it very hot. But we know that everything in the physical is a mashal, really, to spiritual in yanim. So we know that the sun, it says, the sun is too intense. Like we see physically, that the reason why there is an ozone layer, then that's in order to mellow out the intense sun's rays. And that's why, you know, there's the whole worry that we're destroying the ozone layer and there's global warming and whatever, right? Because there's a block Hashem makes that the sun's rays are too intense. So he puts a cover. Bipnimius and Yanim, internally, what does it mean? Shem Havaya, the name Yudke Vavke, that is Hashem, that's compared to the sun. Shem Elokim, the name of Elokim, is an encasement, is a kisoy, is a cover for the Shem Havaya. So the world should not get burnt up. Now that Avram had his bris milah, and he removed all blockages, it says when Mashiach will come, what's going to happen? Through our avodah, because we purify, we prepare the world, then the world becomes a keli to receive the sun without its shield. So Hashem removes the name of Elokim, which the name of Elokim is gematria hateva, nature, and we can see godliness that's beyond nature. Hateva, there's no more. We can see how everything emanates from Hashem every moment, and that we can see the miracles that are happening all the time, and that what that nature is just a facade, and it's all a lukus, and it's all getlachkeit. It's only Hashem. That's called gilui shem havaya. That's going to be when Mashiach comes, because Hashem is going to remove. That's what Chazal Taka say. When Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to remove the sun from its sheath, and the wicked are going to be burnt up by it. And the tzaddikim are going to be healed by it. What does that mean? V'amech kulam tzaddikim. As a result of Torah and mitzvahs, the Jewish people are all tzaddikim. So we have made ourselves into kelim to be able to receive the Shem Havaya without the blockages of the name of Elohim. And that's going to shine when Mashiach comes. Since Avram Avinu was already living in Yemoisa Mashiach after he did his bris milah. Because again, Avram Avinu did his bris means he removed his arla. What are we doing for the last 3,500 years? Removing the arla of humanity, the arla of the world. That's what we're busy doing. Avram achieved it already. We're just, he did it, as we said before, in the micro, and then it's being done in the macro of the whole world. When this is done, what happens? The sun comes out of its sheath. That's why it was very hot. That means it was a giloy, it was a revelation of everything. Everything, there was nothing hidden. God himself was revealed. But the most beautiful thing was, what does the pasuk say? Vehu yoishev, that Avram Avinu was able to sit. Sitting means that you're able to calmly receive it. It's not overwhelming you. And that's the whole point. Vehu yoishev, that he can sit. That notwithstanding the revelations of kechayim ayoyim, of it being so intense, he's able to sit. Receive it mamish, without being blown away to pieces by this revelation. By Matan Torah, just to give another example, by Matan Torah, what happened every time Hashem spoke and he revealed himself. And again, by Matan Torah, the revelation is not going to be, was not as great as Yemoisa Mashiach. It was one level less. And yet, what happens every time Hashem spoke? Everybody died. He spoke, and it means the bodies couldn't handle it. But now, after when Mashiach will come, we will be able to handle it. Not only that, we'll be healed by it. Avram is able to sit. And so will be with all of us. We will be able to sit after Mashiach comes. In this revelation. So the why is that? Why is that? And the idea is because that's exactly what Bris Milah is. Bris Milah emphasizes the purpose of all mitzvahs, the essence of all mitzvahs. What's the essence of all mitzvahs? The mitzvah itself is Hashem himself. The mitzvah is God. The place where you're doing the mitzvah, where are you doing the mitzvah? You're doing the mitzvah with your body. That means you're connecting it with physicality. And in Bris Milah, it's more than everything else, because it's not only you're doing the mitzvah with your body, you're doing the mitzvah in your body. Bris Milah is literally a mark. It's an engraving in the body. It's the highest of the high being engraved in the lowest of the low. That means the body can handle something so powerful and something. Since Bris Milah is that unification of the physical, of the, and also Bris Milah is also shaykh to the most bodiest part of the body. In other words, the part where there is most yetzahara, there's most evil inclination, the most physical, the physical desire of the human being, and yet in the most earthy, what we might say animalistic side of the human being, dafka over there comes the highest revelation. That's what a Jew is all about. That it is no, there's not a moment where he's divorced from the MS of the Eibishter, and it reaches every subcell in his body, all the way to the lowest point. And that's Bris Milah. So that makes us into a Keli, that when Mashiach will come, the Gilui Oirin Saif will be able to be in our bodies. Just to conclude one more nakuda, this will also explain why it says that when Hashem came to visit him, he came to Lerapa Esachoyli, he came to heal the sick. He came to heal the sick. Simply because Bris Milah needs, Avram had a Bris Milah, he needed to be healed. So Hashem came for a Bikur Chaylim visit, which meant to heal him on the third day of the Bris Milah. Now we'll understand the content of that healing. The healing that we're talking about over here, even though it was the healing of Avram's Bris Milah, it really is the healing of the entire world. The revelation, when Hashem is going to remove, we said earlier, the sun from its shield, it's going to bring healing to the world. Why is it going to bring healing to the world? Because until God is not completely revealed in this world, there is an existential illness. An existential illness. It's called, to the in general in the world, it's the world is a broken world that needs healing. More particularly, to the neshamas, to all the neshamas, our neshamas are in a state of illness. Ki choylas ava ani. We're all sick with love. Because we want something that we cannot have. We feel that the truth is not revealed to us. We feel that there's something truer, there's something so deep, there's something so powerful, there's something so emes that we're not experiencing. So the soul is so yearning. Our individual neshamas, the neshamas of all the Jewish people, the neshamas of, there's this powerful longing, it's called choylas ava, it's the illness. Until the Bris Milah, which means until we don't remove the arla, until we don't remove the blockage, the neshama is not satisfied, the neshama is burning up with a feverish illness, with a sickness. And only by the Bris Milah, once you have the Bris Milah, you remove the barrier, and that means that Mashiach can come. There can be a full hisgalos of the Eibishter. Finally, the existential, this illness, this universal illness, and the illness of all of our neshamas are going to be healed. It's going to be healed with the soothing rays of that revelation of the of Hashem himself, of the Pnimius of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that is going to be in the coming of Mashiach. That's why it's interesting that when we daven for refuah, it says that the which bracha is the bracha for refuah? So the bracha for refuah is the eighth bracha in Shemayna Esrei. Refa'enu is the bracha. Because really all disease and all illnesses, whether someone has a headache or a toothache or a stomach ache or chas v'shalom, a serious disease, really it's all rooted in the disease of separation between us and Hashem. That's its root. And that's why what brings the healing for it? Bris Milah. And that's why healing is in the eighth bracha, because Milah is the eighth day. So that's why the root of all healing is healing the Bris Milah, which means healing from the arla that needed to be removed, and through that bringing healing. So all healing really is associated with this healing. When we will have this refuah, a true refuah shalema, there will be a complete refuah shalema to all those who needed refuah shalema and other aspects of their life. But it's all rooted in this, so says the Sfas Emes. And that's why this revelation of the coming of Mashiach is a Bikur Chaylim, because when Mashiach will come, that will be the ultimate Bikur Chaylim, when there won't be any more anybody anybody lonely in a hospital, any disease, any chas v'shalom, any sickness, everything will be healed, and there will be everlasting yitzchak, laughter, and joy in the world for all eternity, forever and ever. Bez Hashem, I'm going to mention again that next week I'm not going to be here on Thursday. So for now, the shiur is going to be pushed off, and it will be again Bezus Hashem in 2 weeks from now on Thursday. We will shall continue. Everyone have a good week, and may we merit Vayeda Elov Hashem. Let it happen. Take it from Yad. Bye.